situation with somebody where we have an opportunity to teach them just like Jesus had the opportunity with Nicodemus here. And Jesus being the master teacher that he was, the way that he handled this situation can give us some insight into how to deal with somebody in a one-on-one situation like this. First of all, we see in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So this wasn't just anybody. This fellow was a ruler of his people. And he was also of the strictest religious sect. The Pharisees were the strictest religious sect of their day. The Pharisees had, they had rules and regulations about what order to cut your fingernails in, what to do with the clippings when you got done. They had rules about who you could eat with, and who you could, what foods you could buy in the marketplace, and which ones you couldn't. They had a rule for everything. In fact, most of Jesus' religious discussions throughout the New Testament are with these Pharisees, because they're accusing him of violating some command of God, when in actuality, it's just their tradition that they've built up over the years. So we've got to understand what courage it took this man then in verse 2 when it says the same came to Jesus. Jesus was almost entirely condemned by the Pharisees. This man was a Pharisee, and yet he came to Jesus. But notice his courage. He wasn't as bold as maybe we would think he is, because notice what the next two words are. He came to Jesus by night. He came at night, but he thought maybe nobody else would notice. But he said he wanted to talk to Jesus, and he didn't want to do it in the same setting where there would be all the scoffers and mockers. He wanted to really sit down with Jesus, or stand with Jesus as king, maybe, and talk with him, and find out what this man really taught, really believed, without all of the of all the crowds that need to follow Jesus around. And so, then he says something very interesting. He says, Rabbi, which is similar to say Master. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art the teacher come from God. And that's a powerful statement right there, and that gives Jesus a starting place to handle this guy. When we come up on a situation one-on-one with somebody, if they make some comment about, well, I know the Bible is God's Word, that's a good starting place. If they say, I know Jesus is God's Son, I believe in Jesus, then that's a good place for us to start. Anytime we have those opportunities when somebody makes a religious comment like that, or it may be something like, well, you know, so-and-so goes to such and such church, what do you think about that? Or it may be something like, you know, I went to church when I was younger, but I don't go anymore. People will make religious comments. And that gives us a place to start. Nicodemus here says, we know you're a teacher from God. Now, notice he doesn't say that Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't say, we know you're the Messiah. He says, we know you're a teacher from God. And he gives the reason for that. He says, for no one or no man can do these miracles you do unless God is with him. Unless God's with him. So he had seen the miracles that Jesus had done, and he knew nobody could do those miracles unless it was by the power of God. So he realized that Jesus must be coming from God. That's quite different from what some of the other Pharisees said. The other Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the chief of demons. Of course, Jesus explained to them that was ridiculous. A house divided against itself can't stand. No, Abraham Lincoln wasn't the first one to say that. Jesus was known 2,000 years before. But there we have the way the other Pharisees saw it. But Nicodemus realized, you've got to be from God because you couldn't do these miracles you're doing if you weren't. And so then Jesus goes from there and begins to teach him. And he starts with what would mean to us probably an enigmatic statement, almost like a puzzle, almost like a brain
Nicodemus was puzzled by it too, because I said, wait, I came for you to teach me about God, and you give me a riddle. What are we going to do with this? So Jesus, then Nicodemus asked, well, how can that happen? I don't know how old Nicodemus was, but he was obviously a grown man, and he's thinking, I can't be born again. I mean, what birth, what death, that's all we get in life. I don't know if you had any contact with Eastern religion, like the Buddhism that had been around even before Christ. Maybe he heard about their ideas of reincarnation. He's like, boy, is this guy teaching this reincarnation? And so he asked the question, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb before? Can I go through that whole process again? And that's the way people react to us many times with such simple statements as baptism is for the forgiveness of sin. That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand that. That's not what I've been taught all my life. That's what Nicodemus is doing, but he hasn't been taught this all his life. He's never been told to be born again. I mean, he's been told, don't eat anything that's unclean, don't touch dead animals, sacrifice, make your sacrifices. Give at the temple, do your tithing, don't commit adultery, don't kill, you're the child of Jesus and all of that. But you gotta be born again, that's a new one to it. He's never heard that before. Because Jesus is teaching something that's never been taught before. And unfortunately in our world today, many of the things that we will teach from the scriptures haven't been taught before to those people. They've been around religion all their life. But they've never heard somebody say what the Bible teaches about salvation. They've heard people say the Bible teaches this or that or the other, but they've never heard what the Bible really teaches. They've heard say this prayer. They've heard accept Jesus into your heart. They've heard just believe in Jesus. They've heard all these things, but they've never heard what Jesus says to Nicodemus. You must be born again. So we're going to have an opportunity, then people are going to say, what? Now some people may be turned off by that right away. They may not be ready. So Jesus talks about the different types of soils. There were some that were just too hard to accept. There were some that got real excited about it first until some demands started being made and troubles came along and they didn't like it anymore. There were some that got sidetracked by materialism. Things in this world, but that's always going to be the case. But we can learn very quickly how much time to spend with somebody, whether they reject that straight out or whether they show interest. It's a waste of God's time for us to spend hours and hours trying to tell on somebody that's not listening. You know, you don't go to, when you go to a house, knock on the door. You see there aren't any cars anywhere, no cars in the driveway, no lights on in the house, and you go up, you knock, or you ring the doorbell, and you give a few seconds, you think, well, you know, maybe there's somebody in there, or whatever, maybe. But after a few seconds, and nobody comes to the door, you say, well, they must be gone. And you go to find somebody that's at home. That's the way it is many times with religious discussion. We keep standing at the door, we'll stand at the door, knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell, calling out, hey, anybody here? Are you listening? Let me go ahead and teach you. And they're not paying any attention. We're wasting our time and God's time. There are ways that we can better use our time. We can find there are people that don't want. There are people that are interested. They're out there. It sometimes takes longer to find them than it does to teach them when you find somebody that is interested. Some of you know how that is. You spend most of your lives waiting to be taught, looking for the truth. And then when it finally came, it only took a few weeks or a few months, maybe, before you accepted the truth and obeyed the gospel. But all that time, somebody was looking for you. God was bringing somebody to you to teach you the gospel, to get things ready. But it took longer to do that. Sometimes 30, 40, 50 years. Get somebody there to be able to teach. And here we have Nicodemus. He's confused. Nicodemus, or we might say Jesus' study of Nicodemus. And here are some things we want to notice about it. First of all, it was simple. Now, despite the fact that we think, well, that's kind of confusing, that whole born again thing, the wording was simple. In the English translation, in the King James Version, which is one of the most difficult as far as reading level, most difficult English translation there is. And yet, in this 15-verse section, there are only four words that have four syllables. Every other word in that whole section has less than that. He used small words. He didn't use big scientific jargon or big religious words like hermeneutics or something like that. No, he used simple words. Some of the biggest words of Nicodemus' names. Some of the biggest words in that whole section. And there are very few words that are more than two syllables. But only four that are as many as four syllables. That's not a lot of big words. You know, we might say, well, I can't teach somebody because I don't know all those big fancy words. Jesus didn't use big fancy words. He used simple, easy to understand words. And he said, whether it be a ruler of the Jews or a Samaritan woman at the well, the whole Bible, for that matter, the New Testament in particular, is written with fairly easy words. There are a few words that are big and hard for us to understand, and we have to try to figure out how to do it for the most part. Most of those are two syllables. Easy to understand for the most part. So that's the thing that we need to understand when we're studying the Bible. We don't make it overly complicated.
Why is the sun day in the west blowing and the next day it's cloudy? And so
And that's the key to good illustration. Good illustration has to be something that the person you're talking to or the people you're talking to can identify with. And that's why I get myself in trouble sometimes when I use illustrations about sports. Because I know there are some of you out there that don't like sports. But you know, when I use an illustration about sports, maybe I'm talking about following the rules, and I talk about sports and how in a particular sport you have to follow the rules. I'll come back maybe and talk about, well, you know, if you're making a cake or sewing, you try to get something that everybody can understand. And some of the other folks that are really into sports may not know a thing about making a cake. Some of these other people that don't know anything about sports, and they know about making a cake, they know we got to follow the rules. So that's the thing Jesus does. He uses an example that everybody that's ever lived on the earth is going to be able to understand. And nobody's talking about it. So that makes it simple. And that's the key to illustrating it, explaining it in everyday language. Because many of the principles that we're trying to teach people out of the scriptures are principles. They're ideas that most people already know and believe and practice every day of their life. They just don't do it when it comes to religion. We've talked about several of those kinds of things. People have said, well, you know, you worship God your way, serve God your way, and I'll serve it my way, and that'll be okay. And we know good and well that when it comes to anything else in life, there are rules that have to be followed. We know I can't just drive any way I want to drive. If you drive any way you want to drive, I'll drive up the side of the road, up on the sidewalk, across people's yards. We know that's not okay. But for some reason, when it comes to religion, we throw all our common sense out the window and say, well, we just do whatever we want to do, and everything will be okay. It doesn't make any sense. So we've got to explain things in those physical terms that people understand. Notice what Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 12. He says, if I had told you earthly things, teaching you physical things, things that you should understand, because if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things, spiritual things? So firstly, we've got to get people to understand physically. They've got to understand the physical things before they can understand the spiritual things. So we've got to make sure that it's simple enough to understand. And notice secondly, Jesus dealt with important issues and matters. Notice Jesus didn't debate with Nicodemus about whether when you're tithing your mint that you grew in your garden, that you have a plant and it has 10 leaves, should we weigh those and give a tenth of the weight, or should we just give 1 leaf out of 10? He didn't teach Nicodemus about things like that. He was dealing with something much more important. He's dealing with salvation. He's dealing with seeing the kingdom of God in verse 3, with entering the kingdom of God in verse 5. Jesus is talking about salvation. There's no topic more important than that. That's what he deals with, the important things first and foremost. Now that's not to say that later he wouldn't deal with other things that weren't as important, but that were still of significance. We've got to realize that we, when we're studying for somebody, need to look at the most important things first. We don't need to argue about somebody with somebody about premillennialism, about whether this particular event's going to happen or not, until we talk to them about their need to be saved. Once we've got somebody where they've obeyed Christ, then there will be lots of times to continue teaching about less important things. We can spend months or even years teaching somebody about something that might be interesting to them, might be something they're interested in. We can study with them about cherubim and angels and seraphim and all these things. And that's a good study for us to have, and we've studied that. But for somebody that hasn't been saved, it doesn't feel a whole lot good. Because after you study all that with them, they're still just as lost. We've got to study the most important issues. first, and that's what Jesus did. He started with Nicodemus, the very first thing himself as salvation. How do you enter the kingdom? How do you get to see the kingdom of God? You're going to be born again. Then we see, third, he preached to a man of stature. We already saw that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Sometimes we're intimidated.
We want them to believe what we're saying about the Bible says such and such. Except a man born again. The
You're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel. You have not